Well, it's almost full moon open line time. So we're going to have open lines for you tonight on Coast to Coast AM. Special topic hotline for you. That number is 818-817-0021 for the bizarre storyline. I'll tell you why. 818-817-0021 for your bizarre stories. I'll tell you a little bit about my life. As you know, I've been married twice. I've had the incredible, fortunate time to be married to two great women in my life. One was my high school sweetheart, who is the mother of my three children, and the other is just a dear friend of mine today. You know, I'm lucky that we still have a good relationship, and went through the trials and tribulations of a young couple at 19 and 18 that got married, and then later on in life, things change. People change, finances change, and people change. But I've remained friends with both of them, and they're great, great people. But after my second divorce, I went through a stage where I wanted to date as many women as I could. And I did. And one day I had a date with someone, and just a lovely person. I mean, she was just spectacular. And you know, she met over at my house, and then we were going out. Now, let me set the stage for a moment. In college, my father wanted me to be a dentist. All my relatives were dentists, and that's what he wanted me to do. Now, I loved sciences, and I loved dabbling with microscopes and things like that since I was a kid, but that's what he wanted me to do. I loved broadcasting. That's what I wanted. I wanted to unravel these stories that we're doing right now. But to appease my dad, I said, okay, I'm going to go to college and, you know, I'll go into pre-dental school and let's see what happens. So I did that. Did that for 2 years. In the process, I took some incredible courses. We would breed mice and we would study them and we would watch things. It was great. But they also wanted us to dissect frogs and stuff. So one of the requirements for this college course was to buy a dissecting kit, and it was a pretty good professional kit. Not quite what doctors use, but pretty darn good. And I still have it today. I mean, it's got it all. It's got the, you know, the little scalpels and the tweezers and all that. And I just have it because I love science, and so I keep it. Well, now let's jump ahead to my date. She meets me at my house. I was talking about a sliver that I had a couple days ago. I had a sliver at that time, and I didn't have anything to pull this thing out. And so I'm thinking, God, what am I going to do? I got to get this. This thing hurts like heck. It dawned on me that I still had my dissecting kit. And, you know, it's got some real sharp little needles there that you can use, and you can scrape your finger a little bit, and you can get that little sliver. And you got the tweezers, and they were very fine, and you could pull it out, and you'd be in great shape. So I got my dissecting kit, and I'm sitting on the edge of my bed, and I'm working on getting this thing out, and I'm working on getting it out. And all of a sudden, she shows up downstairs. She's ringing the doorbell, and I finally got this little sliver out and pulled it out and put it down on the dissecting kit on the bed, okay? And I didn't have time for anything else. Everything was out there. And I went downstairs, and I got her, and she said, where are we going? I said, well, we're going to go out to dinner. And she said, well, you know, can I use your bathroom? I want to freshen up a little bit, and then we'll go. And I said, sure. So she went upstairs, and the bathroom was adjoined to the bedroom. And I'm waiting downstairs. All of a sudden, I hear the loudest scream I have heard from anybody in my life. She comes running down the steps. Doesn't even look at me, goes through the door, opens the door, and runs out and just says, I'm not going out with you ever again. Don't call me. And I'm saying, wow, what's wrong? And she said, you know what's wrong. And she left. Now, I'm totally perplexed. I have no idea what's going on. This great date is now gone for the night. I can't figure it out. I go back upstairs, and it dawns on me. I've invited her over. We're going out. She's in my bedroom, and she sees on the bed an open dissecting kit with scalpels and everything else. And that's why she ran out. She thought I was some kind of a freak, and I was never to see her again. That's bizarre. So let's see if you can top that one. Bizarre story night. Here's the phone number. 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. Okay, welcome to Open Lines. Almost full moon Open Lines, as a matter of fact, with our bizarre story hotline, which is 818-817-0021. By the way, schedule coming up November 7th. I will be in Chicago emceeing the National Radio Hall of Fame. Remember last year, Art Bell received the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, one of three recipients that year. Tremendous honor, and I have a great honor to be emceeing this year for the recipients. That's going to be in Chicago on November 7th. The following weekend after that, I will be in Albuquerque for a Friday night show and also for a meet and greet with our huge affiliate out there, KKOB. A little bit more information on that by going to our coasttocoastam.com website. Click on the bottom there, the calendar schedule. And those of you in the greater Albuquerque area, come on by. Let's get together. I know the station's been running some announcements and promos, and love to see you there. Then I'm heading back to Los Angeles, and I'm coming right back to St. Louis for the holidays again. So let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our bizarre line. We've got Randall in Kansas City. Hey, Randall, welcome to the show.
You don't know how many times I've tried to call you, George, but I tell you what, I can hardly get any sleep anymore with listening to your shows. So it's great. I love it. Just love it. Okay, I'll tell you the story I told your screener. Okay. I was 16 years old. We were mowing hay. I grew up in northern Nebraska, and we would put up hay in the summertime, you know, for our cattle for the winter.
Yeah.
And so in the old days, you'd go with these side mowers, like 9-foot mowers and whatever. And the guy in front of me, he's mowing along, and it was a very wet year, so we had lots of bumblebees would build their nests. The more wet, they have more flowers, so there's more bumblebees. They make lots of them, or they produce more eggs and have more bumblebees out. Well, they're nasty. I don't know if you've ever been bit by a bumblebee, but
I got hit by a wasp once and never again, Randall.
They're as bad or about as bad or worse. Anyway, when Merrill went ahead of me, he had a two-tandem mower, so he was getting out 16 feet of grass every time he'd go around, and I had a 9-foot mower, and he was about 100 feet, 100 yards ahead of me, something like that. And I noticed that he was swatting. I saw his hat off, and he was swatting at stuff, and I looked ahead, and I could just see it looked like a cloud of bees, almost like you can imagine a tornado of bees going around in a circle because he had went through a nest, and they were all upset. Well, then I've got to come right over the top of it, right? And I'm going, oh, Lord, help me, you know? So my dad was one, he's a great guy, but he really hated it when you missed grass, all right? So I've got my hat off, and I'm praying. I said, Jesus, please help, you know? And all of a sudden, right before I get there, I say within 10 feet of this huge swarm of bees going around in circles, a whole big group of barn swallows came down out of the sky, and these bees just dropped to the ground. And in that group of barn swallows, my dad didn't believe me that day, but I saw a pure white barn swallow was in that group. Now, it could have been an albino, or like I said, well, maybe it was the Holy Spirit. I don't know. He came as a dove one time. Why couldn't he come as a barn swallow?
Yeah.
You know?
Came as a little angel to save you. You could have died, Randall. You know that?
I've had many instances where I should not be here. I'm 53 now, so, you know, I could tell you more stories, but that was pretty bizarre, and I was very thankful, man. I was jumping up and down. That was so cool, you know.
That is a classic. I'm glad you're around. Yeah, nothing like a bee sting. It's like getting stabbed by a knife. Alabama, not that I've been stabbed. Let's go to Alabama. Leanne, you're on with us. Hi, Leanne.
Hey, George. I just wanted to get your take on something.
Okay, I'll do the best I can.
Well, I'm 37 years old, and, you know, as I was growing up, we didn't have cell phones, internet, and all that kind of stuff. And does it not seem to you that as we're ending the first decade of the 21st century, that people don't talk to each other anymore? I mean, it's either you have to go on Facebook to find out what your friends and family are doing. You know, now people want to text you. You know, nobody talks to each other anymore. And I don't know if it's going to get worse or if this is just a sign of the times, but I'm just not getting with it.
Well, you know, in the old days, Leanne, and you're absolutely right, but in the old days, for example, when we just had radio, families would gather. See, I came into the television age, but families would gather around their radios, and they would be a close-knit family, and they'd communicate, and they'd talk. And then all of a sudden, television came, and I think TV really was the major influence for kind of spreading the family apart. You know, people just didn't start communicating anymore. They were glued to the television set. And you're absolutely right. Nowadays, with what's going on with the internet and all these other possibilities, people don't communicate that much. You know, I don't like using a cell phone a lot, but it does seem to be easier to do a quick text message to someone instead of having to call them. You just, you know, blat it, you know, send it your way and blare it right out to them. But we've lost that personal touch. We've lost the ability, that one-on-one with the people that I think is so important. I mean, many of you who text, have you ever gotten to a fight texting? I have, where there are misunderstandings. It is absolutely horrible. In the old days, you'd be on the phone and there'd be no fighting. Everybody would get along. You'd know what you're doing. But on a text, somebody takes it the wrong way and you go, no, not like that. And it gets out of hand. It happens all the time. You know what I'm talking about. We've lost that personal touch for sure. Let's go to our first time caller in Alaska. You're up with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Sorry, I'm really nervous. I'm 15 and I've recently come across the Fiji predatory bird. I was doing research upon this and it dawned on me that in the past there was myths in Fiji about these birds that were sizes of raptor,
yeah, no, you're right.
Come down and take these children. And I was like, whoa. So I kept reading about it, and it led me to another side. It talked about a gigantic cretaceous owl, like literally 2 feet tall or 2 meters tall. And this blew my mind. And so I looked more into it, and I looked more information about it, and it dawned on me that they're describing this cretaceous owl is the same of the Mothman. So I got interested, and I looked at him, and I looked him up and stuff, and it talks about how his eyes glow red when you shine light into his eyes, and a lot of times his eyes seemed like they were in his chest and he had no head. Well, anyway, owls have the ability to turn their head upside down, and when they fluff up, it looks like they have no neck,
meaning
they have one complete body. Well, humans, when you shine lights on them, on their eyes, there's no reflective light or anything. That's how you can tell if it's Bigfoot or if it's another creature. Well, anyway, because it's just, there's a chemical in animals' eyes that helps them see in the dark better, and it's more of a animalistic trait. Well, Mothman has this red reflective light that comes back. Owls and other predatory birds are some of the only animals in the world that have this red reflective light, because most of the time it's just reflective.
So you think Mothman might be a huge owl?
Yes, because they share the similar traits. When it hunts, owls are silent, and no one has heard Mothman sneak up on them because the ridges on the wings owls help air go through it easier, so it's silent.
You are good at this. You've studied these things.
I am. Anyway, I have a bird myself, and she's a parrot. And I was looking at her, and there'll be flies flying around, and she'll attack them. And when she does, there was a couple, I believe. Where was it? Oh, I have all my information here.
You wrote everything down.
Yes, I had this all planned out. I've been wanting to call you for about a month now.
And you're 15 years old?
Yes, I'm 15 years old.
What are you going to be when you grow up? I mean, it sounds like
I want to be an actress, but if that fails, I really want to be a zoologist.
Yeah, have that first so you can fall back on it.
Yes, I'm going to college for 7 years for zoology.
Good for you.
Anyways, I've done a bunch of pictures, and if you go on Google, and I've emailed you actually, if you go on Google and stuff and you look at the pictures and you compare them to owls, it will amaze you. It talked about Mothman having no arms and
That's
very
true.
Large
yeah.
wings. And if you look at the wings of a predatory owl, like a horned owl and stuff, you'll see that its wings are a cream color, like a darker, more patterned color. And that's how it is for moths.
Have you Googled Thunderbirds yet?
Yes, and my okay. mom actually is an executive producer. And it would make sense because, you know, they're huge birds, as this owl, I believe, is Mothman.
Well, you might be right. You might be right. What was your name, by the way? We never caught.
Ellen.
Okay, well, good for you. We're going to be watching you on the big screen one day.
All right, thank you so much, George.
All right, take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye. One of my grandchildren. She is 15 as well. This is a very mature girl. She could go far. Let's go to you, Kevin, in Appleton, in Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Hi there, Kev.
Hello.
What's up, Kevin?
Well, I've been thinking about a personal question I wanted to ask you, with a small disclaimer that this is, heaven forbid. But with all the topics and guests and information on your show, I was wondering if you ever worried about being, taken off the air or something worse. And there again, God forbid, because I love the show and I think you're a great person. But I was wondering if you ever thought about that.
Well, we always think about it in this business, Kevin, all the time. And we're always prepared in our own little way. And I won't get too involved in that. But yeah, in terms of being taken off the air, no. I don't think, in spite of what we've heard about governments trying to get involved, I don't think we're going to be taken off the air. I am concerned about solar flares and gamma bursts and electromagnetic pulses that could wipe us off the air. But I'm not concerned about being taken off the air. As far as the more sinister end of it, well, there was a Denver talk show host, Alan Berg, a long time ago, of which the movie Talk Radio was based on, who said some things on the air that riled someone, and they took matters into their own hand. This is generally a pretty non-controversial program, except the feathers we rile on this program are top officials. They're people, the Illuminati, those who want a one-world government. Those are the people that get upset. My take on this, though, is if they try to get involved, to quiet us down, those of us who continue talking about things that we think affect all of us, I think it brings more attention to that. I really do. Kevin, thanks for your question and your candor as well. Let's go to Texas. It's Judy. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I'll make this really quick. Wonderful program. Just a couple of quick things. First, the other night, you had someone talking about diabetes, and there's some clinical trials where they're taking cells from the pancreas from donors.
Mm-hmm.
And the website, I believe, is A Man Who Could Cure Diabetes. And also, there was a book, The Last Angry Man. Wasn't that written about Rod Serling?
I don't know. I'll have to check on that.
It was in reference to him fighting with the networks. He wanted specific control of one particular program.
Well, let me check on that. And, Judy, I'm putting you on hold, and I'll get you when I come right back after the break, okay? And the Bizarre line, of course, is 818-817-0021. Hey, one of my other favorite Twilight Zones, The Eye of the Beholder. It's about, I can't tell you what it's about, but believe me, the end is pretty cool. The Eye of the Beholder. It's a neat one. Let's go back to Judy in Texas before we take our network break. Hey, Judy, I checked on that movie. Mm-hmm. It was a movie made in 1959, not a book,
mm-hmm.
called The Angry Man.
Okay.
And it was not based on Rod Serling, but it was based on a journalist trying to figure out what was happening to his uncle's television career.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for clarifying that. I do have... this last part of the, if you could just spare 10 seconds, is that all right?
Absolutely.
I've got
How about 20?
Oh, that would be fabulous. I have got a clip here on my answering machine, and people that hear it say that this is the voice of an angel. Now, keep in mind, my name is Judy. And can I play just a couple of seconds?
And let me ask you this. Normally we don't do this, but I trust you. But what was the circumstance behind the voicemail?
It was the weirdest thing, because the person who called after was somebody who was going through a lot of turmoil with her husband. And it was almost as though I was supposed to help her. It's just the weirdest thing.
Okay, so what you're saying is what we're going to hear might be the voice of an angel.
Yes. Well, this is what she even told me, hearing this. I played it for her, too.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's listen to it. And Danny, you're ready for it, so let's hear it.
Okay.
There you go, a voice of an angel on your cell phone.
Do you know something?
You don't.
I apologize. No, what it is I have to call you back on my cell phone to play it on my home answering machine.
Well, what phone are you on now?
I'm on my home, phone, and I can call back.
Oh, how are we going to do this?
If you call back?
You know, I got to put you on hold.
Yeah.
Because we have to call you, or we'll never get you again.
Okay, can I?
All right, so I'm going to put you on hold, and Gina's sitting in for Tom today, so we'll have her call you back on the phone number you give her, and then you can play it back, and we'll see what happens. And Gina's working on getting Judy back on so we can listen to the voice of an angel. Matter of fact, she tells us that she's got Judy already. So, Judy, are you all set? Ready to let us hear the voice of an angel?
Yes. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here it is. And any feedback, I sure would appreciate it from anybody. Here it is.
There we go.
You have 4 old messages.
That creeps me out.
Did you hear it?
I heard it. I've got to tell you, the hair on my arms is standing up, Judy.
And it said unknown caller.
It sounded angelic. Sounded like it was singing.
Yes.
Now, what was it saying?
Name at the end.
I had a difficult time hearing the words. What was it saying?
It at the end, I can only decipher, it says, "I'm lost, Judy."
I got eerie listening to that, didn't you?
What?
It was eerie listening to that.
Yes, it was. It goes right through you. It is the most spiritual thing that anybody that I've talked to has heard, they said.
Let me ask you something, Judy. Has anybody in your family died recently? Might that be it? A voice from the other side?
Well, my husband died about 4.5 years ago, but, you know, that's a male voice, right?
This sounds like a female voice.
Absolutely. No one close to me, but I sure would appreciate any spiritual feedback from anyone. Thank you so much for allowing me this privilege to play it for you.
Okay, Judy, thank you. A voice of an angel. That was kind of eerie, though. Bizarre Line, Vail, Colorado. We've got you, Dave. Hello, David.
Hey, George, how's it going tonight?
Okay, not bad. Has it snowed up there in Vail yet?
Yeah, we have had a little bit of snow. It's kind of come and gone. It was just beautiful today.
That's gorgeous. Well, that's coming St. Louis's way then. Yippee.
Yeah.
So what's going on in Vail?
So you wanted an interesting story. I've got one for you.
Okay. Fire away.
But it was a few years back when I was living up in Jackson Hole, and I picked up the newspaper one morning, and I read with great interest this article about this man from Granby, Colorado, who was having a dispute with the town of Granby. Over a zoning issue that they wanted to build a concrete batch plant near his business. And he fought it tooth and nail and ultimately lost. And to get back at the town, he built an armor-plated bulldozer. And I think it was June 4th, 2004, he fired up this armor-plated bulldozer and destroyed the entire town of Granby.
Oh, no.
Did you hear about this story?
No, I haven't. He just rammed over everything.
You've got to see the video. He didn't hurt any people, but he targeted the businesses of the mayor and the town council there.
What did they do to him? Arrest him and put him away?
Well, they sent a piece of earth-moving equipment against him, and I think he just pushed it out of the way like it was nothing. And before he was finished, he had destroyed the entire town, and I think that what happened was, after a lot of the buildings fell on his armor-plated bulldozer, the thing overheated and kind of stopped him dead in his tracks.
And there he was, and they came and got him, no doubt.
Nope. There was a single shot that rang out, and he ended his own life.
He killed himself? Oh,
yeah.
My God.
So, I was reading this story, and my mind was blown by this, and I thought, my God, what was the guy really like, and what really drove him over the edge? And I didn't really think much more about it. And then about a year before that, I was in Boulder, Colorado, and I was having some trouble with my car. And it was an exhaust leak, and it was leaking into the car, and I had to get it fixed or I was going to die. And so I pulled into this place that I used to know when I was in college. It was, the best muffler shop in town. And I pulled in there, and the business was gone. And I sat there in the car behind the wheel going, huh, I wonder what happened to good old Marv the Muffler Man. Didn't think much about it, drove on, had somebody else fix me up. And then, back to the present day, the day after I'd read this article in the paper, I read the follow-up article in the paper. It was like a recap of the events in Granby, Colorado.
Yeah.
About how the guy was having a dispute and lost this dispute with this zoning thing and destroyed the town with his bulldozer. He was locally known as
Marv the Muffler Man. Oh, man.
So, I sat there, wondering, what was the guy really like? And it turns out I knew him. Yeah. Man, I guess the moral to the story is you might not be able to fight City Hall, but you can run it over.
You can run it over, and then, of course, you never know what makes somebody crack that much to take their own life like that. Let's go west of the Rockies. We are going back to Colorado again. Hey, Calvin, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, George. Hey,
good morning.
Wow, I can't believe I got through. It's been a few years.
Perfect.
Hey, we've been experiencing kind of a neat phenomenon out here in western Colorado. We're not up there by Vail and Snow, but we're over here in the Canyonland, so they got lots of beautiful rock formations and stuff. We like to watch, get at night and watch the rock formations. And the Anasazi used to talk about and leave petroglyphs of the rock people. And these are rock formations that if you watch real close with some binoculars in the dark of the night, you can almost see landslides and stuff happening, which are natural. But you can see the rock people kind of move around. And I know this sounds crazy, but you can actually see pieces of rock and stuff like that that move from place to place.
Do they sometimes go back to where they started?
It seems like they dodge around in like a horizontal way instead of vertical, which would just be gravity from landslides and stuff like
weird.
That. But you can watch, and it doesn't always happen on every night. I know it sounds crazy, but, we're completely sober out here, and we're sitting there watching these rock formations. And, everybody knows about the Skinwalker Ranch and stuff out here. We're right here on the Utah border. And if you get out here in this Canyonlands at night like that, you can watch, and you can see the rock formations, basically move. It's amazing. And, I wonder if it goes back to the Anasazi's belief of the rock formations. And a lot of their petroglyphs and stuff are of, like, people with space helmets and stuff like that,
That is fascinating. I'd love to see some video of that one day.
We tried to videotape it, but it's in the darkness. You can't really get it that well, but we're kind of exploring it right now. We do a lot of EVPs out there and stuff like that in the rocks. We've got some kind of interesting stuff. Not near as interesting as the lady with the angel. Well, that was eerie, wasn't it?
It was eerie, for sure. But, Calvin, if you ever get any good video, send it our way, would you?
I will. Hey, George, could I send a shout-out to your favorite fan here? Her name
Absolutely.
Is Becky.
You got it.
Great. Hey, well, thank you very much, George. Keep up the good work.
Okay. I've seen pictures, by the way, of rocks pictures now that have apparently moved 30 feet, 40 feet, almost like, you know how a snake would slither around and you'd see that trail, you know, whoosh, whoosh. Rocks would do that. And they can't understand how they've moved. It's really bizarre stuff. Let's go to Eric in Fort Myers, Florida. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, George. How you doing?
Okay, Eric. Doing well. Loving tonight. This is a fun night.
Oh, yeah. It's great. You know, I just turned on your show, and I understand. I looked on your website, and I understand today's the 50th anniversary of the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, we just had a two-hour special on that. Had a neat guests. Good people.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one of the first, I'm kind of a new listener, and one of the very first shows I watched is last time you had Mr. Zakri on. I believe it was maybe earlier this year. That was just a great show. I remember that one.
He's a good guy. So what's going on at Fort Myers? It's 3:50 in the morning out there.
Yeah, pretty early. I called in to actually share a part of my life with you. I've told maybe one person in my life, George.
Really? All right. Share it.
And this actually goes back to my time when I lived in St. Louis, Missouri. I know that you have ties there.
Absolutely. All my kids are here. So that's why I come back here so much. I love it.
Great, great place. Well, from the time early in my life when I was about, I would say about 7 years old to maybe when I was about 15, I would experience these terrible migraines, and they were paralyzing. I would, you know, have to basically close myself in a room and, you know, put a bunch of pillows over my head and keep myself in darkness.
What a horrible thing for a youngster or anybody to have to go through that.
Yeah, it was pretty debilitating. And during this time, I experienced something that was I didn't think anything of it, you know, as I was going through it, but now, you know, I'm 22 years old now, and looking back on it, something is very strange. And I actually had these voices in my head basically telling me every single interpersonal thought that I would ever have, basically anything that I would say or think of, you know, anything that would come through your head, this voice would be screaming in my inner thoughts.
You think this voice was creating the migraines?
That's the thing that I'm wondering, if there was some kind of correlation in between that and the migraines, because it seemed as soon as my migraines quit, that the voices went away. It's not even like I remember them there until looking back on it.
And they've been gone ever since?
Yeah. You know, I haven't had any, I've just been reflecting on it. You know, I've never had any kind of voices since.
Give me an example on what some of the screaming things they would say to you, or it would say.
Very strange. Like, I remember I would wake up and just like thinking about things like, you know, like put your pants on, or I don't know, just like interpersonal thoughts that you have in your head. I don't know if you understand, like just simple things. It would be like almost screaming in kind of like a violent way to do these things.
How do you know it wasn't you?
Exactly. I don't know. And it wasn't like this, you know, this, it never said anything strange. It was only things I was thinking. It never said anything like, you know, like strange or identified itself as a, you know, somebody or anything like that.
Well, you know, what happens with me, for example, you know, for example, let's say I'm going to go to the bizarre line next and I'm thinking about it. I hear my voice, even though I'm not talking about it. I hear my voice saying, go to the bizarre line next. I mean, I can hear that distinctively. In your particular case, you would hear things, but they'd be screaming type things.
Yes. And you screaming it almost.
And the migraines.
And it is just, you know.
The migraines went, and so did the screaming.
Mm-hmm. They both went almost at the same time, I would say.
Well, there's got to be a tie-in there, Eric. Tie-in indeed. Let's go to Jonathan in Houston. It's your turn. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
Well, I don't know if you remember me or not, but I called you one time telling you about a babysitting incident where my babysitter we were watching a Twilight Zone episode of Talking Tina, and she magically disappeared from the room and sent me into crying. But yeah, that was a few months ago. It's okay if you don't remember it. But what I was calling for is you had a caller and very insightful, very knowledgeable 15-year-old.
Yes, she sure was, wasn't she?
Yeah, she absolutely was. I mean, I was listening to her saying, wow, she's got to be a 40. But she asked the question, why do their eyes glow and that kind of stuff? Do you remember what she was saying about
that? Yeah, and she was talking about the fact that for predators or something, maybe it scares them off. Who knows?
Well, right, but your screener let me in because I do have a little bit for her. If she, hopefully, she's still listening.
Okay, go ahead. We've got a minute, so go fire away.
If you look at predatory animals like cats, probably owls, they double reflect the light that comes into their eyes.
Huh.
So that is why, I mean, it's a fact. That's why you see them glow when you shine a flashlight or look at them or whatever in the right light. That is why it happens. So I just wanted to put that out there for her.
How do they do it, Jonathan? Their eyes physically have this capability?
Physically, yes, they do. Their corneas and retinas, they reflect the light two times more than we do.
I did not know that.
Yes, they do.
All right.
And so what happens is when you shine the light or when they're out on their own with moonlight or whatever, they get two times or four times the light that we're able to because they're bouncing it around in their eyes.
I've got to tell you, this could be one of the few shows in the country where you actually learn things and people aren't screaming at you. I never knew that, but I do now. I'll be back in a moment. More Almost Full Moon Open Lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie.